and praying that God will speak to our hearts tonight. Ecclesiastes chapter 10. It's right after the book of Proverbs. If you let your Bible go to the middle of it, you'll probably jump in Psalms or Proverbs. And after Psalms, Proverbs is the book of Ecclesiastes. And we've been preaching through it on Wednesday night, and we're just about done. And so we're adding some of the messages. This morning we preached on it. God led me. And then tonight, and with God's help, we'll be encouraged and we'll go forward. And I pray it'll be a great blessing to you. Chapter 10, verse number 1. And I'd like for you to read verse 1 with me out loud. One verse tonight. Little unusual verse. And let's read the Word of God tonight together, word for word, and I'll pray afterwards and we'll be seated. Dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. So doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. Now, Father, we do come before thy presence, and I pray for thy help. Lord, thank you that it is another opportunity, another chance to have hope, that there is hope for the living. God, may we be stirred up to be a little bit closer to thee. May we take a serious account of our life, that we may finish right, stay right on the course, fight the good fight, and be encouraged. We love you so much. Jesus' precious, wonderful, holy name. Lord, now I also want to ask, I know you don't have to have me, but I know that I have to have thee. So I pray like the Apostle Paul said of himself, and in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, came not in word only, but in power and in the Holy Ghost. And as you said, that your kingdom is not in word, but in power. Please now help us, I pray. And do me from on high, may a touch of that power be upon me. Because I know that I will hurt the letter. But oh, what thy spirit could do tonight. Please help me. In Jesus' precious, wonderful, beautiful, holy, magnificent name. Amen. You may be seated. Dead flies. Let me tell you something. You could have fun with the title on this verse right here. I mean, I'm thinking, what do I want to call this message? Well, with God's help, I want to preach tonight on don't let your life get ruined. Don't let your life get ruined. I mean, you could preach dead flies. You could preach you stinking whatever, you know. You thought you smelled good, but you stank. I mean, you could title this whatever you want. I mean, you could have fun with this thing right here. And I believe the Lord's got something special for us. The Bible says, again, going back to chapter 9, and this is the book of Ecclesiastes. King Solomon is at the end of his life. The man that was the human penman, we know who writes the Bible, God wrote it, but the human penman was Solomon of the book of Proverbs, full of wisdom, yet he did not apply the wisdom to his own life. How sad it is. We find that he caused much trouble for the nation of Israel and actually caused the split of the north and south parts, the northern kingdom, the southern kingdom of the nation of Israel. When they split off, really, it was linked back to him and his issues. Solomon did all he could to gain knowledge. He did all he could. He thought that if he had knowledge, he could understand man. And finally, he figured out, no matter what I know, I still don't know man. Man is crooked. I can't figure it out. He ends his life looking back, and God gives us the book of Ecclesiastes. And the theme of it is everything outside of God is vain. It's vanity. Chapter 1 gives us the title as he preaches this book to us. The word Ecclesiastes deals with an assembly. And Solomon, as it says in chapter 1, verse 1, the preacher stands up and he says, all is vanity. The life outside of God is an empty life. It's like trying to grab air. You can't do it. You squeeze, you come back, nothing's in your hand. And he says, I've lived my life. I've got riches. And he did. No one had anything like he's ever had. I mean, you know how it is. You go fishing, you catch a fish, and you go tell it's this big, but everyone you tell is this big. You ever done that? I caught a fish, it was this big. Then you tell your neighbor, I caught a fish, it was this big. The lie gets bigger and bigger, you know? Well, Bathsheba heard the stories of King Solomon. And when she went, because usually when a story's being told, it gets bigger and bigger. But she said, when she saw Solomon in his splendor, she said, the half has not even been told. Solomon had everything, yet he was lacking. He was empty. He was vain. In chapter 9, we saw that great message this morning about there's hope if you're living. For to him that is joined to all the living, there's hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. You can be a dead, noble creature, but it's worse than being a living peasant. To have life is hope. There's opportunity. There's a chance. A chance to know. A chance to live. A chance to enjoy. But once you're dead, everything's gone. The remembrance is no more. No more opportunities. And with that thought of there's hope with the living, we get to chapter 10. And then he gets into something serious about your life and my life. And he says, dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. So doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. Now, apothecary, that was the gentleman that would handle perfumes and be over getting perfumes and ointment and making it smell good. And this was a serious process. Matter of fact, if you remember the wise men that came to Jesus, one of them brought this kind of stuff that smelled good. It was a serious thing to take the time and develop a good smell. I mean, even today, you know, people, I mean, there's so many colognes and perfumes. And of course, that doesn't compare to what this was and how much work it took and how they valued these sweet ointments. But it was a big deal, I'm saying. It took time. It was work. Hey, a good testimony takes time. It takes work. You don't just grow into a name that is a good name. It's something you've worked at, you've labored, you've hung on to Christ, you've obeyed the Word of God, you've hid the Word of God in your heart that you may not sin against Him. You've enabled your life to have a testimony among others to where you've worked at it. It's something special. It's more valuable than gold, more precious than rubies. A good name to be chosen. And here it talks about that apothecary and how he works on the ointment. And the Bible says, dead flies cause the ointment to send forth a stinking savor. You know what? Dead flies, no matter how beautiful that perfume is, dead flies will cause it to stink. No matter how nice it is. No matter how much work the apothecary has put into it. No matter how valuable that ointment is in your house. When neighbors come by, and it was a very big thing for the people in the nation of Israel to carry this in their house. And how important it is. Think about Jesus when the lady broke the alabaster box over Christ and the disciples that murmured, this could have been sold. I mean, it was, the Bible says, when she broke that box, it said it was precious. I mean, that stuff was very valuable and you worked at it and then you got it and it was precious to you. But precious as it is and as beautiful as the perfume was, dead flies ruin it. They ruin it. And I'm telling you something, the testimony is precious. A good memory. The memory of the just. It's precious. It's something you work at. I mean, you work at it. Because if you don't work at it, you'll ruin it. Dead flies will get in it. It's very precious. I mean, what am I going to leave my children? It don't matter what kind of dollar bill I leave them. What matters is the testimony I leave them. It don't matter what kind of house I sign off and say it's yours when I'm gone. It don't matter what I leave my wife if I should go before her. What matters is the testimony that my wife can say one thing about my husband. He was found faithful to the end. Testimony and how precious it is to have a good testimony. I don't want you to forget it. It can be ruined. By the way, I want you to notice what it says in that verse. It doesn't say it takes much to ruin it. does it? Does it say it takes years to ruin it? So doth a little folly. Just a little. You've heard it said before. It takes a lifetime. It takes a lifetime. Hey, you've heard it said before. It takes a lifetime to build character and reputation. And it can be ruined in an instant. Just like that. Just a little folly. It can be precious, and it is. Our testimony is so precious. Listen again to the word of God in Ecclesiastes 10:1. Dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. That precious perfume, if dead flies get in, it's ruined. It's gone. So doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. You know, you think about somebody's testimony and how they have a testimony of wisdom and honor. And you don't forget it. Your name carries weight with everybody, hopefully for the good. But your name carries weight. Names identify a person. That's why a good name is rather to be chosen. Amen? Amen. It carries weight. It means something. But you mark it down. A man or a woman that works and labors and clings on to God and obeys His word and stays faithful to the house of God and makes sure that they stay laboring when they've built a reputation that is of wisdom and honor. You mark it down. Don't forget, a little folly can ruin the testimony. A drop of a hat, it can ruin it. Hey, an instant, a wrong moment, a wrong person, a wrong crowd, wrong decision. There's, you know, we look at the Bible and we think about different kinds of sins. Sins omission, sins commission. Omission, things that happen that really you're not planning on. Here's a good example, you know. A sin of omission would be, did you ask the Lord to lead you today? Well, probably you just went through your day and really didn't think much about asking Him to lead you. Well, that's a sin too. Anybody know that? You ought to let the Bible wants us to be Spirit-led in everything we do. You know, the Bible teaches us in everything give thanks, but how much did you give thanks to God today? Probably you just went about your day and enjoyed your day and had a good time, but really didn't stop and really say, let's stop what we're doing, everybody, and let's just give thanks. That'd be a sin of omission. You've committed it. You ought to be thankful in everything you do, and you didn't even realize it. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, we're wicked. Dogs, amen? But there's hope. But then there's sins of commission. Sins of commission, sins that you unpurposely act, a worldly mind, a mind that's in the world, a mind that has drifted, pride, envy, and slander, and censoriousness, and being a very casual in your Christian living, and robbing God from what is rightfully His. These kind of things in your life are sins of commission. You're doing them on purpose. You've committed these sins on purpose with a commission about it. I'm going to tell you something. Now you listen. Sins that we do that we did not plan on doing are still sins that if you're not careful can ruin your testimony. Can ruin your testimony. I didn't plan on getting involved in that today. You better be careful. Still can happen. I didn't set my mind to do something evil today, but it still can happen. A little folly can bring a bad smell to your name. Just like that. Let me give you just a couple thoughts and we'll be done on this. And I'm preaching on this thought of don't ruin your testimony, your name, your life. Dead flies. Man, we can think about it. There's all kinds of dead flies of sin. Let me give you something, though. Verse 2 says this, a wise man's heart is at his right hand, but a fool's heart at his left. Now, I know some people think that everyone that's left-handed is a fool. That's not what the Bible's saying here. Amen. You know, they didn't let left-handers do anything back in the 40s and 50s. They did, man. They're like, you can't do nothing. Just stay at home. Couldn't play sports. Couldn't do much. We've grown as a society, civilization, and now we let them actually compete in things. Let me help you with what this is speaking about. Now, I'm right-handed. And so speaking, the Bible also says God's right-handed. I like that. It's a good thought. Amen. So if you ever want to hold God's hand, don't throw up your right one. Throw up your left one. Throw up your right one, you'll miss them. Yeah, laugh a little bit. Amen. It's just humor. Just have a little fun. But anyways, notice this, okay? A wise man's heart is at his right hand. I'm right-handed. My right hand is what I do things well with. If I was going to write my name, I'm going to write it right-handed. I'm going to do a good job with it. If I was to take a pencil and write my name left-handed, it'd be sloppy. Everyone could see it. You say, boy, that's a mess. Trust me, it's a mess. I cannot write left-handed. A wise man's heart is at his right hand. A wise man does things rightly. He does things right. It's the direction he's going. What it's saying is, a man that's wise, a man that's protecting his testimony, a man that is living right, he's going to have a right path. He's going to make right choices. Amen. He'll make right choices, a right path. He'll live right. But a fool lives foolishly. They do things, look, sloppy, casually. And that's what I want to get to. If you don't want to ruin your testimony, listen right here. If God said a little folly, no matter how young you are, how old you are, how hard you've worked at that testimony, no matter what you've done to get a name for Christ, this much can ruin it. And this much happens when you get casual. When you get casual. The word casualty has the root word of casual in it. You become a casualty when you become casual. Who wants to be a casualty this evening? I don't. I want to end with a good name. God lets me live 50 years. I don't want to retire when I'm 70. I like what one preacher said. He said, I'm not retiring, I'm refiring. Amen. I don't want to get casual on this. I don't care how many hours I've been to church. I don't care. Listen, this mentality, well, I think I've served my time. No, you haven't served your time. Don't you get casual? A little folly. Well, don't you know how many times I've gone soul winning? Good, keep it up. You'll lose the reward you've gained if you stop now. Second John teaches that. Now's not the time to get casual, because right now, if you get casual, you'll become a casualty. Look, that precious perfume, that odor you got as a Christian, you walk in the room and people know that you got a name for Jesus. You better hold that tight. You better be very careful. You better run scared your whole life. You better know you've not apprehended, because if you get casual, you'll ruin the name of Jesus in your life. Just a little folly will destroy it. And now, your testimony has been ruined. Stinks. It's just been ruined. Casualty. Do everything with the right hand, Josh. Not the left hand. A wise man is casual. You know what God teaches us in the book of Ephesians chapter 5? It talks about walking, being a follower of God, walk in love, walk in light. And then it talks about walking in line. The Bible says that we are to walk circumspectly. Do you know that? Anyone ever read that verse before? Heard that verse? We are to walk circumspectly. Not the word circumspect. Let's turn to it. Ephesians chapter 5. I want you to see this. Understanding the will of God, the Bible says. This is important for you tonight. Chapter 5 of Ephesians. Bible says in verse 10, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. That'd help you. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. Verse 13. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore, he saith, awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools. And I think it's neat that Ecclesiastes chapter 10 is giving us the difference between a wise man that walks with his right hand and a fool man that does it with the left. Walk with a serious walk. Circumspectly means, look, here's a good word to define circumspectly, carefully. You want to walk the line without messing up. You want to see what's around you. You don't just walk into it casually, but you walk very circumspectly. You check things out. You prove what's acceptable. You know, understanding what the will of God is. It says, but as wise. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. God says that our life is a life to where we are buying up the time. Just like if I walked into a market and I had X amount of dollars and I wanted the best deal, I wouldn't be flippant. I wouldn't buy the first guy that winked at me. I wouldn't buy the first kind of item where the guy said, oh, we got the best gadgets over here. I wouldn't just flippantly take any price that comes my way. I take what I got, walk in that market, find the best deal, and use my money wisely. God says, redeem the time. Buy it back from the devil. This is an evil society. It's going to ruin your life. He'll wreck your life. He'll destroy your home. You better take the time God's given you and be careful with it and buy the time for Jesus with every moment you got. I've got X amount of minutes in my life, X amount of hours in my life, X amount of days to live. I'm not going to be foolish about this thing. I'm not going to spend it away. I'm going to be serious. I'm not going to be casual. I'm going to make right decisions so I don't ruin my testimony. I'm not going to ruin it. So if I'm by myself, I'll make decisions that will honor the Lord. If I'm in a group, I'll make decisions that will honor the Lord. If I'm going somewhere on a trip, I'll make decisions. Let me tell you something. Don't you listen to these lies that you can go away on a trip and do whatever you want. And if you're not at church, you're a little vacation. Just have at it. Skip church and enjoy life for the week. You better be careful. A little fall, it might be the road of destruction in your life. Every moment you got, buy it up for Jesus. Give your best to Christ while you got time. Because a little folly will ruin your testimony. What happens in Vegas, don't stay in Vegas. Amen. Lies of hell. Lies of destruction. Live it up. No, you don't live it up. You live circumspectly. Understanding. Being wise. Not as a fool. Have you ever thought about the word fool? Isn't it something that God uses the word fool for somebody else? Who else does he call a fool in the Bible? The one that says there's no God. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And also the fool is the one that knows there's a God, but lives casually. Let me tell you something. Not only ruining your testimony hurts your name and your family and your friends and the testimony you wanted to give, but I'm going to tell you something right now. A ruined testimony is the devil's MVP. A lukewarm Christian, a Christian that has hurt the cause of Christ, is a double crosser of the cross of Jesus. They're a double crosser. It'd be better if you were lost and living like a lost person, because everybody expects the lost man to live lost, but people expect believers to walk in the light as he is in the light. That's why Revelation says, I wish you were hot or cold instead of lukewarm. God calls you a fool if you're going to live this life casual, walking around, not being mindful of. You know, let me tell you something else. Everybody listen to this. I know God's leading this and we're going to trust him. So you listen to this. You've got to understand your weaknesses. You know, the devil's a pro at knowing your weaknesses. Do you think the devil and his soldiers, his army, the evil ones out there, do you think they don't have a plan? Do you think they're casual by the way they're attacking God? They have a three system going on. They have a plan in place. They know how to attack you. And we ought to be mindful of what we're weak at and not ignorant. Amen. We cannot be ignorant. I've got a life to live. And I'm going to protect it by the grace of Jesus Christ. By the way, let me ask you a question tonight. What are you weak at? What are you weak at? There's some, look right here. There's some things you can pray all you want. But if you put yourself in the wrong place, wrong time, you're going to do what's wrong. Yeah. And there's some things you can read this Bible. But if you put yourself in the wrong place, wrong time, the devil knows just what to push in the right place to do it, you're going to mess up. Let me remind you how good you are tonight. You're rotten. Everyone feel better? You are a living dog. You're a dog. It's only by Jesus that there's anything good about you. And we're not strong enough to stand the test of time. We're not strong enough for that evil one who for all these years knows how to attack, knows how to hurt, knows how to ruin. We're not strong enough. We've got to be wise about this, understanding the will of the Lord, walking circumspectly. I can't be around this crowd. I can't be around this crowd. I'm going to mess up. I can't be involved in this over here. I'll mess up. Amen. Hey, if you used to be a gambler and then you got saved, you should never get close to a casino. Somebody say amen right there. There's just some weaknesses you know you got to be wise enough to keep yourself from, wise enough to be careful in what you're doing. Amen. If you're an alcoholic and you got victory over alcohol, over being a drunkard, if you got some victory over that wicked devil, bro, hey, do yourself a favor and stay thousands of feet away from it. That's right. Don't have anything to do with it. People are like, "Oh, you preach separation." Yeah, thank God, because separation is called safety. Amen. I like being safe. I'm not strong enough. A little folly will ruin my life. I don't want to stay right by the fence. I want to be as far away from him as I can. Because in my moment of weakness, when I'm down and out, and every one of us has moments when we're down and out, and our weakness will fail and fall on our face. And what if it's something that ruins my testimony? You know, I have nightmares. Every now and then. You know what my nightmares are? My nightmare dreams. You might laugh. It's a nightmare to me, brother. I'm telling you. I don't know why I dream this once in like, you know, blue. I'm about six blue moons, okay? Blue moons about every 3-4 months. I have a dream, some stupid dream, where I do something that's not right. And I feel like it's so real. And in my dream, when I commit this, and I'm not talking about something heinous, I'm talking about, you know, like I got angry at something and cussed them out in my dream or something, you know. I went and I grabbed a pack of cigarettes and put them in my mouth. I dreamed that one time. I woke up in a cold sweat going, "Oh no, I just ruined my testimony. Why in the world am I smoking?" I'm sleeping. Oh, praise God. It's just a dream. It's a nightmare. Because that one moment, oh man, I'd ruin my testimony. That's a nightmare to me. I don't know about you, but that's a nightmare to me. I spent some years walking with my Savior. I spent some years in the world, and when Jesus got a hold of my life, I couldn't wait to get a reputation where folks looked at me and did not think of something else, but they said that this man was walking with Christ. I've labored with Jesus. I've been clinging on to him. I've trying to been walking with him and knowing his book. I don't want to mess up what I've been laboring to have these years for Jesus. I don't want to mess that up. I've been married 13 years coming up. I don't want to mess that up. I've got four girls that look up at me. They might think I'm He-Man right now. They might think I'm Superman. I don't want to mess that up. I want my family, when I meet the Lord, to know I had a sweet-smelling testimony. I don't want to ruin it. I don't want to ruin it. I beg you, let's be mindful of this. Can I give you one other thing? I mean, this is wind up right here, but let me give you this. Listen, I don't care what anyone else tells you, you cannot be too careful for Jesus. Period. I don't care what anybody, you're too heavenly minded to be any kind of, what is it, earthly use or whatever. That is so wicked. You cannot be too careful for Jesus. You can't. Well, you do read the Bible all day. That sounds good to me. If anybody does that, keep on, man. That's it. You cannot be too careful about this. A good name, a good testimony. They worked hard for that ointment. The apothecary worked hard. Perfume was very special, it was pricely. But dead flies. You ever met somebody that from a distance you told other people around you, oh, that guy over there, that guy, he seems like he's a wonderful husband. Oh, that lady over there, she seems like a wonderful wife. Oh, that couple in church, they seem like they got everything all together. If there's a Christian in our church, it's got to be. I mean, some people, they smell so good, but then you find out that they're stinking. They've ruined the testimony. It don't have to be that way if we're careful. Don't be casual. When I was 17 years old, I was in a chapel service. It was in January. I can remember it like it was the day I got saved. I was saved at the age of 12, but I made some bad decisions as a Christian. But when I was 17 years old, I heard a message in a chapel service, and I said, that's it. I'm giving my life totally to Jesus. Amen. Second greatest decision you ever make. Number one, get saved. Number two, give it all to Him. And I never forget, I went to the church I was attending in Cleveland, Tennessee, and I met my Sunday school teacher. And I met him that morning, and I told him, I said, sir, I said, I'm scared that I might mess up. I don't think I can do this. I want to live for Christ, but I'm scared. I don't want to mess up. I never forget what he told me. Sometimes there's just moments when the Holy Spirit uses somebody and stamps it on your mind you forever remember. He said, Josh, as long as you think like that, you're going to be all right. We need to be careful.